Welcome to This Week in Craft Beer, the podcast, the weekly show where we interview the people making the magic happen in the UK craft beer scene. This Week in Craft Beer publishes the UK's leading craft beer newsletter every Monday morning by email. To subscribe for free, please visit www.thisweekincraft.beer. This Week in Craft Beer would like to thank our generous Patreon supporters, Phantom Brewing Co., Bayonet Brewing Co., Dolphin Brewery, Berkshire Beer Box, The Small Batch Brewing Co., Belgium and Blues Southampton, Doug Thayer, Robert Baker, Aid Bardi, The Brew Brothers, Paul Whelan, Bettina Cassidy, Forks Brewery, Claire Costa, James Cox, Craig Hatton, James Moss, John Mead and Craft Beerings. So I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast this evening, Johnny from Northdown Brewery, based in Margate. Northdown was launched in 2018 with a focus on big, hazy hop hitters, as well as classic ales for keg and cask. Johnny, please introduce yourself and tell us about your beer journey, which led you to Northdown.
So my name's Johnny Spanjar. I suppose the brewery's been going 6 years this May. My beer journey, I suppose, started off when I was a kid. I grew up in a pub. My parents had pubs. Grandparents had pubs.
Nice.
In North London, Northeast London. So that was kind of my earliest memory, I suppose, of actually beer. It was my nan giving me Guinness because she thought it'd be good at the age of three, as you do. why not? And occasionally going behind the bar and tipping the slops into a glass and drinking it and thinking it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had.
It's a slippery slope indeed, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Grew up in the pub trade, swore blind I would never get into it. My dad had a boozer in a place called Chingford, which is like East London, Essex area, which is where I grew up. And I ended up running it for him. And then me and my missus opened our own place. And I was literally standing thinking, why the hell are we doing this? And I'd started home brewing. I started getting interested, actually. I was into Anchor Steam beer. Quite heavily. Love that beer.
Yeah.
Still do. Still go back to that. Sierra Nevada kind of stuff like that. And I started thinking, I fancy making my own beer. So I started making my own beer and started thinking, actually, it's quite nice. And mates of mine thinking, let's try that. Oh, actually, it's pretty decent. Mm-hmm. And then started thinking, you know, this is possibly something I could get into. Mm-hmm. Our bar at East London Brewery in Leighton had not long opened.
Right.
And we started getting... I was kind of wanted to get different beers and we weren't tied to any
nice.
Breweries or
anything.
So it's like, you know what, let's try and, you know, get on the kind of craft beer bandwagon.
Yes. Yeah, so support local. And totally.
And I was having conversations with kind of various different breweries, but the one person that really took the time to have a chat with me was Stuart Lascelle at East London Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked and we talked and we talked. And then I kind of mentioned to him once, I said, when he was delivering, I said, would you ever be up for having an apprentice brewer?
Nice.
And he said, well, yeah. I said, listen, I do it unpaid to learn the craft, so it is. And he offered me 2 days a week, which, funnily enough, were the only 2 days that I could do.
Oh.
So it's completely
meant accident. To be, yeah.
And I started there, working there 2 days a week. I mean, literally just washing casks. That was that was me most of the time, washing out vessels. And slowly but surely started doing more and more. So, you know, 2 years down the line, I'm there full time and on the brews and making the beers and going to beer festivals and representing the brewery. And I was there for 5.5 years, I think, all in all.
Yeah.
Kind of towards the end of that, we didn't want to run a pub anymore. We had two kids, you know, they were young. We thought I'd grown up above a pub and you get used to it, but I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it's the best environment for kids to grow up in, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we thought we wanted to open a brewery and we looked at different areas and we'd been to Whitstable and then we went to Deal and then one of those random things, we stopped at Margate on the way through and I happened to discover an old schoolmate of mine lived down here. And so as it is. And so we came and met him for a coffee and I was explaining what we were thinking of doing. And he was like, there's no breweries in Margate.
Yes.
We've got Gads in Ramsgate, which I, you know, knew about.
Yeah.
I said, but there's no actual brewery in Margate at the moment. And so we looked at it and made the moved down to Margate with our kids and the rest is history. So 5 years we've been going, nearly 6 years it is now, and it's gone like the wind, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
It's mad. How time flies, it really does. It's insane. But yeah, it has its pitfalls, like with anything in life, you know.
Yeah.
But it's enjoyable, you know, it's stressful. at the same time. But that's life. Do you know what I mean? It's like today, for instance, I've just done a run to London and back again. Annoyingly, a pub put in a massive order while I was in London, so I've got to go back again tomorrow, which is fine. It's
well,
all right.
Yeah, it's hard to get annoyed about a big order, but I can
no
sense the frustration
precisely.
in terms of logistics. Yeah,
it's the, do you know what? It's the one part of the job because I kind of we have a pretty small team, which is fine because I don't mind that. I quite like the hands-on thing. I quite like delivering myself because I get to meet customers.
Exactly that. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that was, you know, back to your story about the East London
yeah,
connection.
totally.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, the big breweries, that's something we have over them. You're not
Definitely.
really ever meeting that person who physically makes the beer.
No.
You know, and someone once said to me that I think it was my dad actually, he said, the person who's going to sell the beer the most is you. That you're the best person to sell your own beer because you know it inside and out. And it's, as I say, it's nice, but it is, but the driving side of it is, for me, it's the most tiresome. A double brew day I'll take all day long.
No.
Driving, it's just constant concentration on the motorway.
Yeah. Well, especially the nature of where you are, you know, and in the summer when it, you know, when it starts going wrong with the, you know, the tunnel and the crossings or whatever, you know, you're gonna it's it can be a nightmare, can't it?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, definitely. But then that's when you kind of look to more wholesale distribution, which again is something we've been looking at more and more. We kind of tended to try and keep it, you know, in-house, but I think you weigh it up. One of the problems with Margate is it's a seasonal seaside town,
Very
and
much
you
so,
know, and you literally from now, from this weekend, there's so many venues that are reopening, and
Right.
it will be, it's just like this. It goes from kind of that to that in the space of a month, and you have kind of no, and we've got used to it, and it goes insane, and then it kind of, I wouldn't say it drops off the edge of a cliff at the end of September, but it's certainly, you know, it's coming and it happens. So it's something we're looking to do, is try and, you know, plug that gap of going through the really quiet time by pushing the beer out more nationally, going through wholesale distribution, Pig's Ear to name one,
Nice,
and various others, and keep the beer and getting reviews on Untappd in pubs in like obscure, not obscure, but parts of the country. You think, how the fuck did the beer
it's
get there?
exciting though, isn't it?
It is exciting, exactly. It's reviews, you know, good or bad. You've got to take them, you know, at the end of the
You have,
day,
yeah.
it's beer is, you know, it's someone's opinion, it's someone's
Always going to be
taste. It's
subjective, I'm afraid.
totally subjective, absolutely. And listen, you can't take offense to it unless someone's nasty for being
Yeah, I
nasty.
mean, you can sometimes you see stupidity and
Nothing.
vindictiveness, but most of the time, you know, hopefully it's just somebody's opinion, isn't it?
No, exactly. So it's. I mean, like, I was going to say. I mean, you can leave it in or not. As my dad used to say, opinions are like arseholes, and everyone has
Yeah, has
one. They're
everyone's
not.
got one?
You know, it's that. But you know, as you get the good ones, you get the bad ones. You get the really weird, strange ones. You think, I'm not sure you're even drinking the same beer, or you've ever
No.
drunk. That's like, I think there's some strange people out there, but there's strange people everywhere in every walk of life, you know.
There
So
are, yeah,
that's
no,
part and
definitely.
parcel.
So let's talk about your setup, Johnny. So you're, you know, I was sort of doing a bit of research this afternoon. So you're just outside Margate on a in a sort of little industrial
We are
zone, aren't you?
we're right by Hornby, Hornby Hot, which famous for, you know, Scale Electrics and Airfix
Airfix was the other brand. That's right.
Airfix is one of their brands. So we're literally right behind that, and it's
I know
quite,
exactly
you
where
know.
that is because I went to the museum there a few years ago. Yeah, three,
Okay,
4 or 5
nice.
years
Yeah,
ago.
it's our problem. We're called North Down Brewery. We kind of toyed with the idea of various different names, kind of to be specific with Margate, and you know, a friend of ours was in marketing and said, sometimes you've got to be careful with that's choosing a specific name of the town or calling yourself Margate Brewery, because it's a weird thing that if someone's had a negative like experience in that town, then it translates into their opinion of the beer. And it's mad,
It is, yeah.
but it's one of those things that happens. But also because, you know, just looking for something simple, North Down Road, North Down Park, the North Downs in Kent, you know, it just seemed like the right name. And that's what we chose. And we couldn't really find anywhere in Margate. We spent nearly 18 months looking to kind of, ideally, we would have been really central to Margate, but there is nowhere. It's as simple
No,
as that.
no.
And places we did find, I mean, we took one unit and we had to leave. We took another unit, we had to leave because literally the kit, we got the kit from Oban Ales in Scotland,
Oh
in
yeah.
Oban. who I'm not even sure they're still going.
No,
But
not heard of them in a while, but
I think he might have sold it, John, to be honest with you. But and we'd literally, I was still working at ELB, but I'd gone back down to like a couple of days a week till just to earn some money, basically. And I was coming back on the train, and my other half, Katie, phoned me up and said, "Look, we've got a problem. The unit we've taken out in Manston, they've got a problem. There's not going to be any electric or water for another 9 months." I was like, "Ah, okay, that's a bit of a
Temporary then,
that's
really, is
yeah,
it?
no, not really. That kind of that ends that one." So I was like, "Right, shit, okay." Straight into the phone to a local agent, and he was like, "Funny enough, there's units have come up on Westwood Industrial Estate." I was like, "What the hell is that?" And when I mean, I've seen pretty much every building in the whole of Margate. I can assure you, seen every building in the whole of Margate. And we came here and looked around. It was an old Mears with a company. They were like they do maintenance work for properties. Walked in. It was just the whole. Literally walked straight in. I was like, "It's perfect, absolutely perfect."
Nice.
The guy was like, "When do you need it?" I said, "Well, the kit arrives in a month. Well, it becomes available in a month. It'll be completely bare. The landlord will put all the electric in for you," which is like, wow. "He'll give you
Fabulous.
3 months rent free." Wow. And we kind of, yeah, landed on our feet. And do you know what? In some ways, it's quite, as much as we wanted to be in the centre of Margate, I'm kind of trying to create something, you know, like most breweries in like London, lots of them are industrial estates in obscure
They
parts of
are.
London that people are quite happy to travel to.
Yeah.
And we're only, you know, the main road goes straight past here, as you said, Hornby's on our doorstep, huge B&Q, another kind of all the what's called Westwood Cross is like an area that's in the middle of Thanet, which covers Broadstairs, Ramsgate, and Margate. We're on the Margate side of it.
Right.
So we get a lot of footfall, and there's more people coming up here. As I said, more people visit Hornby. They've just had a massive refurb. We've got a train museum that's
Oh.
opening next to us that we didn't know about until we moved in. About 2 weeks
Fantastic.
after moving here, they were delivering the first ever Eurostar.
Oh.
First ever Eurostar train got delivered. And we was like, what the hell is this? Discovered this very, very wealthy man has his own private train collection, a bit, you know, a bit bigger than most people's train
That's right.
collection.
Yeah, big boys train set.
Big proper big boys trains. And he's this where I mean this warehouse is I mean it's Hornby's old warehouse where they used to store everything. So it is absolutely enormous. You know that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark at the end? Like that. It honestly, it just goes on forever. So it's going
Incredible.
to be the world's biggest locomotive, 1-to-1 scale locomotive museum, in biggest in the world. And it's going to open in about 12 to 18 months right next to us.
Absolutely
So
awesome. Oh, that's going to be, yeah, so even, yeah.
well, this is why we kind of extended our tap room because we thought we need to do it now. You know, it is the model, as far as I'm concerned, that more and more breweries are
It's
trying
got
to
to
be
be.
self-sufficient.
Got to
You
be,
know,
yeah.
you have to be. And but also you've got to offer a little bit more than, you know, like we have food pop-ups here. We've got a screen. We had the rugby on a couple of weeks ago, which was
Nice.
great. And it's busy, but because it's a nice space, you know, the tap room that we had, we used to basically put trestle tables out in or a beer tables out in the middle of the brewery, and it's fine all the way through summer, and out the front it's fine because we get real sun trap. You start going into winter and people just sitting there and they're literally wearing hats and coats and
I've done it
shivering and
many, many
thinking,
times myself, yeah.
yes, we all have, but you just some but after a while I think some of the diehards will continue, but I think the majority of people think, oh, do you know what, I want to be somewhere it's
Yeah, we can
a
do a
little
bit better than
bit.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we've done. We're trying to kind of, you know, get it established more and more and more so that if and as and when that does open, we're not going to be, you know, completely caught out. Also become an attraction. Breweries do, you know, brew days and we have events. We've
Absolutely.
got you know, we've had comedy nights here in the brewery. We've you know, it's as I say, you've got to be more than just a brewery. I think, you know, you've kind of, you know, if you want to be, you know, a hub of the community. I think one of our biggest things someone asked me once, what do you want Northdown Brewery to be? And I said, I just want to become an industry in this town and employ local people and create more jobs and create something, you know, something the town could be proud of, a legacy, I suppose is the word. You know, I mean, I say that, but neither of my kids have any interest in getting into the brewing trade whatsoever. But then again, I said I'd never work in a
Nor did
pub.
you at their
So,
age. No, that's right.
no, well, no, the eldest one, I mean, I don't know if it's a sign of the times. There seems to be that they seem to be drinking less and less, but the younger one who's 13, he's like, can't wait to drink. I'm like, okay, all right. Yeah, so we're out here. It's nice. There's more and more kind of local things. There's a guy who's taken a unit, Baz. He's great. He's got like He's an upholsterer. There's
Right.
a guy who makes light fittings in there. There's an artist. There's a thing called Tiny's Tacos. They're caterers. Like, this whole estate's got a real weird mishmash of kind of
Oh,
people.
yeah.
I don't know if you ever went to Wild Card Brewery in Walthamstow.
Yes, only a few weeks ago, actually, or just before Christmas.
You go. So their original brewery set up in it's next to God's Own Junkyard, I think
That's right.
is
Yeah,
that.
it's still there.
And it's and that's the kind of thing, as I say, just more interest for people to come up here, just not for brewery, and go, oh, look, I'm going to there, we can go in there and kind of create a
Yeah,
little bit.
absolutely. Yeah, you know, it makes an afternoon of it, a sort of an eclectic kind of collection of things to go and
Yeah,
look at.
precisely. But it also kind of, because we've all kind of come together and a lot of us got on with each other, we're like, right, well, why don't we kind of all get in together and all self-promote it? Because if you've got like seven, eight businesses all pulling for the same thing, it can only
That's it.
benefit. And that's it. So as I said, one of Margate's strongest points when we moved here, I was quite impressed by the community kind of side of it, and the fact that people were polite, people say hello to you in the morning. I think which was a bit of a novelty for me when I first moved here. It was like, morning, oh, morning, like in a nice way, because I had that for so long. Most people in London are so busy, myself included, that you kind of just you go from A to B and you work and
In
you
your own
go
little
home.
bubble, yeah.
You're not interested in small talk or whatever. And as I say, there's a real sense of community in Margate. Lots of people
Nice.
try and get behind each other, and we all try. Listen, it doesn't always happen because that's life, but generally, that's what it's like.
Fantastic. So let's talk about the tap room then in terms of size. I can see it behind you, but what have you got in terms of taps and seating?
Right, so
You know, how many?
taps. So we've got eight taps. The front of the brewery is there, and this is kind of back. This is a brand new unit. We knocked through and created this space. It we're standing, probably over 100 people can fit in
Nice.
this room. The brewery, obviously, outside the front bit is a sun trap. So outside, the landlord literally gives us carte blanche to do what we want. We've got the best security in the world. We have a bike gang next to us. Who are literally, it's the best security in the world, because I know that nothing's ever going to get stolen from this place because they're always there. And they're nice guys. They're really, really good guys. We kind of, again, look out for each other. But yeah, so we've got eight taps. We've then also got two kegerator Linda machines,
Nice.
two of those. So potentially 12. We've got racking system for six casks as well, which we always try and have a cask on, because cask is great,
Yes, it is, yeah.
and say capacity in here. So yeah, 8,500. So I mean, it's like we had our green hop day in beginning of October. Went on for a month, if I remember rightly, and it was packed. I mean, the weather, it was kind of a late summer, I think, if you remember. So it was still pretty mild, and it could have been 200 to 300 people in that. It was
Wow.
absolutely it was mental, but it was great. But then I think the green hop thing, the Kent green hop thing especially, I feel that when I moved here, I underestimated it slightly. First year down here, I introduced myself to Eddie Gadd. Eddie's great. He's a real champion of local beer, and he tries to help out as many people as possible. First year of doing green hop, he contacted us and said, look, we want to make a green hop with us, Canterbury Foundry, Canterbury Ales, Gads, and Four Candles over in Broadstairs. And we were like, so we made the beer, and he was like, how much does everyone want to take? And I was a bit naive and like a bit green, and sorry, and we took, I think, six casks, and they sold like instantly. And I was
Fantastic.
like, this is great, maybe I should have gone. Following year, did a whole batch, sold it instantly. Following year, did a whole batch, sold it before we'd even made it. Following year, two batches. So we always make two batches every year. But
Fantastic.
when I was at East London Brew, they did like an initiative, local hop growing community, Walthamstow Hop Growers. And so it was people growing hops in their back garden, and then would bring harvest time, bring the hops to the brewery. We'd all sit there picking the hops, make a beer, and then we would have the launch night was normally at the Rose, is it the Rose and Crown in Walthamstow? It's like a theatre pub in Walthamstow,
I
Hull
honestly don't
Street.
know, Johnny.
And we had the launch here. Everyone had beer, and we had a big party at the brewery. And I just remember thinking, what a great initiative to do. And
Definitely.
so, something we're just really community. And so we spoke about doing it down here, and a local retired guy, Chris, got in contact with us and created what's called Hop Along Thanet. And that's been going for, this will be the third harvest this year. We thought it would take a couple of years, we wouldn't get enough growers, but we got more than enough. In fact, we had so many the first year that we actually sent some of the spare hops off to Hookins Hops in Tenterton, who dried them for us, and we use them again in a bit for a beer later.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And it's, as I say, it's a real, for me, the whole, as I say, I underestimated the green hop thing. And it's, we live in an age where, nothing's seasonal anymore. We want
No,
it.
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
We want it now. You get things out of season in supermarkets, and I
You're
think they're not
going
going
to
to.
supermarket, it's the exact same selection of fruit and vegetables literally 12 months of the year now, isn't it?
All
Yeah.
year, all year.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have that kind of, the green hop harvest. You have the hops, you make the beer, you sell the beer, that's it, it's done. And
Brilliant.
then
Yeah, I love
you
it.
have to wait another year. And there's so many different styles. And I kind of had a bit of a, not a bit of a beef, but I suppose a bit of a beef that I think that we really jump all over Oktoberfest as a
Yeah.
country.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself, why do we not jump all over green hop
We
more as
really
a country?
should. I'm much more interested as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
no
exactly.
comparison.
Totally, because there's so many different, styles. Everyone makes a different style of green hop every year, darks and lights and milds and whatever.
Yeah.
And celebrating English produce,
What a
celebrating
great
counties.
point.
It's obviously
Yeah.
not just Kent, Hereford, it's Worcestershire as
Yep.
well, and it's attracting people to come to those counties to spend money locally and showcasing the British beer industry, and instead of listen. German beer is phenomenal. We know that. It's
Yep.
not, that's not in doubt.
No.
But it's as I say, why spend all that money importing beer from
Yeah, but
another
the German
country?
beer industry does not need the UK to run Oktoberfest for them, do they? You're quite
Not
right.
really.
Very good
Not
point.
really.
Yeah.
And I think it is growing. And so John at Canterbury Foundry and Eddie kind of were the major founders of it, of the whole Kent Green Hop. And what started off as a fortnight is now a month. And they've obviously, each brewery puts into it. Shepherd Neame get involved as well. Listen, they're the biggest boy in Kent, and you'd rather have them behind you than
Course you
against
would.
you.
Yeah.
They can help you out, and they have done. And we now have a proper website that's run, and it's really starting to gain traction. And they're even talking about trying to make it a protected status, Kent Green Hop. So it's like Parma ham or cheddar, that.
Yeah. Well, there's a special term for that. I can't remember, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
There
Yeah.
is, it's like the, in France, was it Appellation Contrôlée, that
Yeah.
kind
That
of
might. Yeah. Yeah.
thing. But it's amazing, and it's as I say, it's getting bigger every. It seems to be getting bigger every year. Kind of, I know some people get a bit, oh, I'm really bored of green hop beer. I'm like, well, I think you need to try. There's a lot of breweries that make green. A lot of the London breweries now make
Yeah.
green hop. Well, and one thing we I've got a lot of family in Derbyshire. My other half is from Derby originally.
Right.
And we go up to that part of the world. It's a beautiful part of the world, obviously,
Oh,
because of
definitely. Yeah.
Burton-on-Trent. They, a lot of decent beer up there,
Yeah.
and we always send some green hop up there because they are like every year, like we've got to have some of the green hop. And I'm like, oh,
Nice.
leaving the county. Not sure about that, but it works, and they absolutely love it. So
Brilliant. Yeah.
it's you're sh showcasing the county as well. So why not?
Definitely. Let's talk about this first beer, Johnny. We've spoken for longer than I usually speak before we go. You've been doing most of the talking, as you did warn me that you might be, but that's all good. You're the guest. This is Pale Ale Mary. Your 4.3% English pale. The tasting notes that I have say a classic English pale ale, brimming with delicate orchard-like aromas and a deft balance between earthy hop bitterness and a sweet, rounded malt character. Yeah, it's lovely, lovely traditional English pale ale, exactly
Yeah,
as described. Yeah.
so when I was at ELB, the latter kind of period of my time at ELB, I was allowed to test brew a hell of a lot because I knew I was going to be going off and on my own. And I wanted to just make it, and ELB's straight pale ale for me was, what I thought was an absolute winner as a beer. I always thought, I think I want to just make a traditional English pale ale, first of all. It doesn't have to be smash you in the face, hoppy, kind of
No.
American style. Want that kind of, classic kind of power. It's great. It's kind of ticks a lot of boxes for me. It's easy drinking. You've got a bit of, well, Northdown hop goes into there for bittering. Then we've got Styrian Bobek, which I think is delicious. I always get a little bit of like Earl Grey bergamot kind of flavour. That's maybe I'm just everyone's taste buds are slightly different. You've got French Brewer's Gold in there as well. Yeah, I'd say easy drinking. It won Kent Beer of the Year in 2020.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Which was amazing. And well, it bit bittersweet because we won it in the March of 2020.
Yes, and then I know what you're going to say. Yes,
right into okay, can't really celebrate this one.
No, you never got a chance to have your day in the sun, did you? It was worth that year.
It was great winning it. You know, Eddie Gadd was there that night, came over and congratulated me, and it was it was one of those kind of. I think that everyone slightly suffers from imposter syndrome, if I'm completely honest. I think in all walks.
Sure, I think if you don't, you're arrogant beyond belief, aren't you? So you know.
And I still do to a certain extent, and I think that it's, but you know, getting that kind of gratification, the hard work, and thinking that you know it's a big moment. I mean, it was a highly emotional moment building up to that, and cried my eyes out as you do, and then we kind of got hold of ourselves, and it was great, and it was just that, as you said, being I think you know when you recognised by your peers, so to speak, and it's a big deal, and that you know ultimately for whatever happened, you know, in the world after that, it can't be taken away.
No,
you know, that's, and it's still one of our best sellers. It's probably our best selling cask beer. I think it's on
I can imagine. Yeah, I can just imagine it's
banging on cask. Yeah. It really, really is. Sells really well. I think that it is what it is. It's close to my. It's Hallel Mary. It's named after my nan who passed away many
nice.
Years.
Yeah,
her name Mary. We didn't realize until she died. I thought her name was Eileen. And then when we went to collect her death certificate. He said Mary, and I was like, "What? Her name was Eileen." It's like, "No, her name was Mary." You know, the weird thing that people did
that,
years
well,
ago.
That's, it seems like a generational thing. I don't think you know people in the modern era do that, do they? Go by a completely different name, but that was a thing, wasn't it? You know.
So that's, I mean, nice thing to discover when we were looking for a name.
Yeah.
It was just, it just made sense to call it that, and so we stuck with the name, and it's still. Taught a few years ago. Someone worked for us and said, "Oh, I think maybe we should get rid of it." And I said, "Look, I'm never getting rid
That's
of that
not
beer.
Happening, no,
never." And I explained why the name was, and he was like, "Oh, I didn't realise that."
Fair
I was
play.
Like,
Yeah.
That's it. Sorry.
Tell you what we need to do, John, is take a short break. This Week in Craft Beer is sponsored by Hit Marketing Design, a design agency based in Essex offering professional marketing services across the UK. They specialise in graphic design, brand creation and web design and can create anything from a fresh logo, new product branding, eye-catching adverts to a fully populated website. No fluff or filler, real design for a competitive world. To find out more, visit hitmarketingdesign.co.uk. I'm back with Johnny from North Down for the second half of the show. Johnny, at this stage every week, I like to put the guest on the spot and ask them to tell me what makes you different. What is it you're doing at North Down to stand out in the relatively crowded Kent craft beer scene?
Blimey, that is a tricky one, isn't it, I suppose. I suppose I go with the automatic one. It's husband and wife team, but we're not the only ones in the Kent beer scene. Husband and
well,
wife
that's a
team.
Nice, that's a nice place to start, certainly.
It is. It's, you know, when you're working with your other half, it sometimes can, but we try and keep it. We try and, you know, our roles are, you know, I'm brew house and Katie's the marketing and back
right.
of house stuff. So, I mean, she is the engine room of the brewery as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
But it has its pitfalls as well. But then, like with anything in life, I suppose, we're a small team. I think at the moment there's two guys driving, myself, Dan, our brewer. Then we've got Ryan, who's sales. And then we've got Dylan, who works here on Saturday in the tap room. As various other people that kind of come, it's about seven of us, you know, kind of. So it's a pretty small team. It's increasing over the next kind of year to 18 months, but we are where we are. And I think also because we are small, especially locally, I find that we can be a little bit more hands-on, like I was talking earlier on about delivering and meat being, you know, customer facing
a bit more than
bigger breweries. I think I've also got a background in pub, cellar management, installation stuff, so I can go and troubleshoot.
Nice.
If there's a problem.
I'm sure that's appreciated at times. Yeah.
If it, you know, I get phone calls and this isn't working or that's not working, you know, there's always that thing that pub will, you know, not always blame the beer, but it's always the kind of first go, there's something wrong with the beer.
Yeah.
It's like, Hey, all right. Well, all right. Well, let's backtrack. And because
Yeah.
I'm local, I'll always say, look, I'll come and have a look.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'll go, but 99.9% of the time, it's the servant pressure is wrong.
Yep.
And that's it. Or they, you know, simple thing, they haven't turned the gas on. I mean, that's a classic. First one, have you turned the gas on? Oh shit, no, I'm so sorry. It's like, look, it doesn't matter. I'd rather you know, and I'd rather at the end of the day,
Sure.
you'll have to serve beer. And if it's our beer, then you know, we
Right.
want you to serve beer. So I think small team being a little bit more personal, maybe. Obviously the beer as well. We make great beer, you know. I think if anything as a massive USP, I suppose it is that more personal touch, I think, for
Yeah.
me, than lots of other breweries where there's, you know, a lot of staff and you kind of don't ever get to see the, you know, the people really behind it.
Yeah.
You know, have to go through so many people, you know, and that's something that we speak about as we get bigger. You know, how big do you want to get? Someone said to me, you know, how big do you want to get? And I kind of say, I don't want to put a ceiling on it. But then again, at the same time, I'm not saying I'm a control freak by any stretch of the imagination. We all have that element of that we want to keep control of something. And I think when it's, you know, you start the business from scratch and you don't want to lose that, and you don't
No.
want to, you know, I'd never want to not brew. It's something I still really, you know, enjoy doing it, because it's the
Sure.
reason I got to it in the first place, you know. And
Yeah. Yeah.
And trying to kind of discussing recipes, making new beers, always, you know, I think, you know, if someone said to me, oh, you know, how many different beers? Don't you make a different beer every week? I said, well, unfortunately not. You know, it's the nature of the beast. You can't do that. Some breweries have done it where they, you know, they'll just make a new batch every
Oh,
time,
sure.
and
Yeah.
that works for some, not for others. I think in an ideal world, most brewers probably would like to make a new beer every day,
Yeah.
because it's interesting, you know, and that's what you do. You know, some of my happiest times as a brewer was when I was test brewing all the time. But yeah, so tangentially coming back again, yeah, I think it's the small hands-on side of it, I think,
Yeah.
that sets us apart. I think
Well, I
that's
tell you
it.
what, talking about your local scene there, I stumbled across reference to the Thanet Beer Brewery Tour and the minibus service on your website. Is that what can you tell me about that?
Right, so this is coming up actually next weekend. So next weekend is quite a busy beery weekend in Margate. So we've got the Margate Tap Takeover. So we were part of Hastings Tap Takeover
Right.
with Brewing Brothers last September. Oh, no, October, beginning of October. And absolutely loved it. 15 independent, or it's more, I think they had 20 venues in Hastings,
Brilliant.
20 different breweries. Every single pub that we went to, every venue was heaving. And it was great. Everyone's kind of taking the time to go to different breweries. And all we kept getting told was, you're from Margate, you should do one in Margate. Margate would be amazing to have one.
Yeah.
Okay. And right, okay. So Katie, my other half, contacted all the local places in Margate, said, look, would you want to be interested in doing this? Everyone, oh yeah, 100%.
Nice.
And so next Saturday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday for Easter weekend, we've got the Margate Tap Takeover.
Awesome.
We have got New Barns Brewery from
Oh,
Edinburgh. They're
nice.
taking
Yeah.
our taps here.
That's a good guess to get in, yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the breweries that are coming down. Xylo have got, is it Loud Shirt in Brighton? I
Yeah,
think they're
that's
called.
right. Yeah.
Can't think off the top of my head some of the other ones. You've caught me. But at the same weekend, Easter weekend, we normally have what's called the Planet Thanet Beer Festival. And it's
Yep.
always held at the Winter Gardens. It's one of the biggest beer festivals in the south of England.
Right.
It was held at the Winter Gardens, huge capacity. The Winter Gardens closed during COVID and reopened, kind of, but it's shut. And it's having a, they're trying to get huge investment to reopen it, which they will do, because it's an amazing venue.
Right.
The Beatles played there
Yeah.
many, many years ago. So it's got a lot of history, you
Yeah.
know, and it's an integral part of the town. So obviously there's no venue, and we can't find another venue. So last year, you've got Gads, Shivering Sands, who are in Manston, and Wantsum, did a kind of mini version at each of their breweries just for one day. And so then we said this year, well, they wouldn't get us involved. Why don't we do it over 2 days? We'll pay for, but together the breweries pay for shuttle buses. So the shuttle buses basically all day for the 2 days going around the breweries.
Yeah.
So you've got the craft beer festival in all the bars around Margate, and then you've got the cask beer festivals at the breweries as well. So
Fantastic.
it's a decent weekend
Well, you're
for
just
beer.
sport for choice, aren't you, really? I mean, how do you decide where to go?
Pretty much, you just go to all of them,
I
and of
guess,
course.
yeah, just keep moving.
But the other
Yeah.
thing as well, I kind of find that sometimes with beer festivals, when you're hosting a beer festival, I think you get sometimes a lot of the local venues don't necessarily benefit from it.
No, that's right. In fact, they lose out because they lose their usual custom to, you know, is away at the festival. Yeah,
exactly. And by doing the tap takeover thing in multiple venues, you're keeping it in the town. You're keeping everyone's benefiting from it.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of the places, a lot of the venues that are hosting it, a lot of people never even knew they existed. This guy keeps commenting.
Well, that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Yeah, it's putting them all in, you know, in the shop window or whatever. It's a showcase for the, you know, the diversity. Yeah,
So it should be a really, really good weekend.
Well, that's really exciting. Look, this podcast will be out the Monday before Easter, so hopefully there'll be, you know, be a few people hear this, and you know, if they weren't aware of that going on in the Greater Margate area, they are now. So get themselves going your way. Let's talk about the second beer, Johnny. This is Squiddly Diddly. 5.8% hazy IPA. Toasty notes here say a heady hop hit of Galaxy and Citra, bringing the super surge of tropical fruit flavours, backed up with a pithy zest backbone. New England yeast providing fruity esters, bags of wheat and oats bring that textbook softness and haze, an absolute dream to drink. Yeah, it's lovely beer. It's gorgeous colour to it. It's exactly as you say, lovely tropical fruit flavours. Quite a cut of bitterness, a bit more bitter than I was expecting but I really appreciate it actually for that.
That's what that batch in can, I found that there is a little bit more bitterness than we actually normally like.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Sorry, drinking it here in straight from the tap, and it's a lot smoother. It's actually fun enough, a conversation that I was myself and Dan were having this week about making it even smoother and less bitterness. So we've got some plans to kind of, but we noticed definitely with that batch in can, it was more bitter than I want it to be.
Than the intention, yeah. As I say, well, it certainly doesn't make it a bad beer. I think, you know, it more, you're perhaps looking for sort of categorising it. You'd say more like maybe a mountain IPA, sort of that crossover between East and West, which is, again, not a bad thing at all in my book, you know.
No, totally. I mean, it's kind of, it was, so we had a beer called East Note. So originally we had a beer called Hancock Shaker. And it was a single hop, single malt smash beer, and 100% hop with Mosaic, and 100% extra pale malt, and really successful. Even though everyone thought we named it after Matt Hancock,
right?
And I said, I can assure you, we didn't name it after Matt Hancock. And this kept going and going and going. I think we need to change the name, so we changed the name to Easterly. And it was super popular, but there was just something missing. It was 6%, and it was something missing. I just wanted a little bit more. Kind of, I'm trying to think of an example of another beer that I was drinking at the time. I thought, I want something more, just a little bit juicier, a little bit hoppier, a little bit softer, hazier. Yeah. And we, you know, there's a ton of Galaxy and Citra that goes into it, which I think is wonderful hops. I love Galaxy.
Oh, that's so fabulous! Both incredible hops. Yeah.
Really is. And I think, yeah, totally. And it's, you know, I think that I'm a big fan of Australian hops, actually, if I'm honest. They're kind of, you know, our other 4.6 tidal pool, which is our kind of probably one of our best sellers, our house pale, shall we say. That's Galaxy, Enigma, Ella, and Eclipse.
Oh, nice.
And that's, again, all Australian hops, but with that one. So, even at 5.8%, it's probably become one of our best sellers. Kind of, that's the other thing as well, is worrying that the higher ABV sometimes, you know, is that going to put off, you know, your sales because not as many people drink it? But I think it's the opposite. And it's like, I've noticed this at beer festivals as well. The first beer, having worked at beer festivals, the first beer to sell out is always the highest ABV. It's almost like a challenge sometimes, I think, with people.
There is a bit of that.
Do you know what I mean? I've got to drink that. It's so strong. But yeah, it's a cracking beer. It sells really, really well. Really proud of it. It's kind of... Mm-hmm. We've recently upgraded. In the process of upgrading our kit, our capacity is 1,000 liters on a brew. So we have to double brew into our 2,500 liter or 2,000 liter FEs.
Yep.
So we've just bought a secondhand 3,000 liter. So we're and a big, much bigger mash tun. So we can kind of start probably trying to make some more higher ABV stuff.
Yeah.
Moving forwards, because we have the, you know, we have the capacity to do so. But it's a nice starting point, I think. Beefing that up and kind of in future years, maybe doing a double version of it, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know?
Great. I mean, and look, especially with your tap room, that's the thing, isn't it? Is you want to have that range of ABVs, don't you? I mean, you know, you may not find that your pub customers are going to be that keen to take a double IPA, but you know, you're always going to get, you know, you're always going to sell that through the tap room, and people are always going to be looking to drink across that range of ABVs. Yeah. What you got coming up in terms of, apart from what you just described over Easter weekend, you got any other festivals or events or things you want to talk about, either your own or others that you're attending?
Green Hop, obviously, which is in
So about the sort of October, September, October kind of time, yeah.
the September, October time, we'll do the Green Hop Festival again. They've actually, the growers this year, I think, are going to be growing locally Fuggles. We tried to persuade them to do Cascade, but they didn't want to do it because it's obviously originally an American hop, and
Yeah.
it was quiet. And well, I just want to eat it, which I get. It's
Yeah.
like me going, "Oh, go on, grow it, grow it." But no. So that's September, October. We are part of Brewing Brothers in Hastings. Are, I think it's their 10th birthday, and they've invited kind of eight breweries to come down there and be part of their party. And we're going
Nice.
to be part of that, which is in August. That's late August. I'm trying to think. I think that's the main thing. I think it's short term, but obviously our tap room is something that we're trying to encourage more people to
As
come
you say,
down here.
you're doing sort of comedy nights and the like at the tap room anyway, are you? Is on a regular basis?
If you kind of stick, go on our socials, Instagram's probably the best way to follow us, if
Yeah.
I'm completely honest. We're going to be advertising a lot of different food pop-ups that
Nice.
are
Yep.
going to be at the brewery, and I encourage more people to come down here, spend the afternoon, and kind of, it's we're dog friendly, we're kid friendly.
Nice.
It's stay away from the chemicals. They're trying to play near that. No, please.
Ideally, yeah.
We have it all sectioned off anyway. So it's,
Yeah.
but there's always, listen, kids like to explore, don't they?
Of
So,
course they do. It's
but we've got a
exciting,
big,
isn't it?
big kind of car park out the front. And as I said, because we've got the space of a weekend, we're next to a huge bakery,
Oh,
and they're
nice.
not open of a weekend.
Yeah.
So we've got the free rein of the car park, unless the bikers are coming back from a ride out, and
Yeah.
that's quite interesting when there's like 50 motorbikes all turn up at the same time, and they're all
Yeah,
kind of like coming up like looking like really intimidating looking like
yeah.
leather clad dudes, but they're all good as gold, really really
Yeah.
nice guys, and they kind of look out for us and we look out for them.
Excellent. Where's the best place for people to get their hands on some Northdown beers then?
Well, apart from the brewery, quite a few local places in Margate. So we've got the Shakespeare Pub. Shakespeare, which is a great pub. So they've got us on tap, Block on tap, Gad's on tap,
Nice.
Five Points, and Xylo. They basically decided to do an in-store but have all the local breweries, which I think is great.
Lovely. Yeah, brilliant.
The Georgian Heart Pub in Margate. That's another one there. We've got three of our beers on there at any one time. Cask as well, permanent. Place called the Tap Room in Cliftonville. That's a great little venue, great little independent venue. They have our beer as well as, obviously, local farm shops in the area, online through our online
Oh, yeah,
shop.
so you've got a
Online.
web shop, haven't you? You can order all your beers from the web shop, yeah.
Got a web shop, you can order here. Obviously, turn up at the brewery Monday to Saturday. You can turn up and buy beer from here. You can even stay and have a drink. I mean, if it's not, too busy during the week, we say to people that you're fine to come in, sitting here. And
Yeah.
Obviously, if there's brewing going on, we just kind of just try and encourage people to kind of, because you can come through the brewery or you can come in the other side. We've now got
Right.
big signage through our tap. People can come in that way, not have to physically walk through the brewery. And then
Nice.
there's always something here. And if people want takeouts, sometimes I was brewing on Wednesday, and Dan had gone to do some installation stuff at a venue of ours, a place called the Sun Deck, which is a great little venue that's open from March all the way through to the end of September. It literally has the sunset every night, bang in front of it, overlooking the sea.
Fantastic.
They always have wicked live music. They've got some food venues next to it. It's honestly, it is an amazing little venue.
Lovely.
He was there, and I'm here. And my other half had to go out, so I was completely on my own. Obviously, typically, people kept turning up to buy beer, and I'm like in the middle of my brew. So I said, "That's all right." And they're like, "You sure, mate? It's fine. Don't worry about it." But I
Yeah.
quite like that as well because
Of
it's a working brewery. So
course it is, yeah.
that's what I think people like that. We do brewery tours as well. Something I enjoy doing. I end up probably, as you've noticed with this conversation, I like to talk a little bit
Spin a
once I
few
get
yarns
started.
along the
Things
way,
my
yeah.
anxiety. Yeah, but it's, you get hands-on and kind of talking people through the beer making process, and then hops, and it's always the one that people love to see, the hops, and you kind of
Yeah,
show them the
absolutely.
difference
Yeah, that's
between
the
the
most
Southern
tactile
Hemisphere.
part of it, isn't it? Yeah,
Yeah,
brilliant.
definitely, because it's that tangible thing that someone can get their hands on and get the smells and go, "Wow, I didn't realize that, hops could smell like that."
Yeah.
Even if you get people that fascinates when they come on the brewery tour and they go, "Well, I don't really like beer." And I'm like, "Okay, all right, interesting, but fine, fair enough." But here you go, and talk them through it, and then actually sometimes they're like, "Oh, actually, I quite like that." Like, yeah, there you go. I might have converted you as
Another
well.
convert, that's right. All good. Yeah. All right then. So look, let's get into the home straight then, Johnny. And you've partially covered this already, but I'll reprise it because you might have some new answers. This is what I call shout out to the little guy. And here I'm looking for you to mention one or more local to you beer businesses that you think are doing a great job promoting independent craft beer. And that could be another brewery, a tap room, a pub, a bottle shop, even a restaurant or a cafe, but somebody that's local to you doing a great job promoting not just North Down, but
I
independent
think
craft.
I mentioned the tap room in Cliftonville. I live in
Yeah.
Cliftonville, which is a part of Margate.
Nice.
A lot of locals live there, and it's a really small little venue, punches way above its weight, always busy. They have some amazing DJs playing music in there. They have live music occasionally, and it's a real locals local, if I'm
Nice.
honest. Xylo Brewer down on opposite Margate Main Sands. They're amazing guys, make amazing beer.
Right.
It's a great venue overlooking the sea,
Yeah.
and they always have guest beer there as well. Occasionally take our beer, which is, great. Also look
Terrific.
after us. And the one I would say is a place called Margate Off License. It's opposite the Lido in Margate. It's
Right.
quite a small little bar. The guy that runs it, Deek, he's got again. He grew up in the pub industry. His family ran pubs in North London, North East London. So we've had conversations about that in the past.
Yeah.
And he's got an amazing selection of vermouths and spirits, but he's
Right.
also always got two taps of craft beer on, ranging from Flock or us or the Colonel or various other independents.
Nice.
Also has big double fridges with cans. It's got an amazing alcohol-free range in there. Really good
Yeah.
selection. So I'd say those three places, definitely great. Or as I say, independent, champion local, tick,
Nice.
tick,
Yep.
tick.
Brilliant. All right, good answers. Thanks for that, Johnny. So we are at the wrap-up question then. And here I need to know from you, what would be your ultimate happy hour? Three parts to this question. Where would you be? Who would you be with? And what specific beer would you be drinking?
I think my bestest, oldest mates, who I've known forever since I was like a kid.
Yeah.
We don't meet up very often. When we do meet up, it's like it was yesterday that we'd seen each other. We
Yeah,
laugh.
another
We just
time.
laugh.
Yeah.
We just
Yeah.
giggle, and that's what we do. But weirdly, I used to play a lot of Sunday league football.
Right.
Not for quite some time, and one of my happiest times was going for the beers after the game on a
Oh,
Sunday.
yeah.
Go back to the pub.
Yep.
And just talk about the game, probably embellish how well we played because we were probably dogs
Yeah.
most of it. But kind of covered, aching, thinking I really need to stop doing
Yeah,
this because
but
I'm
those
not getting
beers are
any
well
better.
earned as well, aren't they, at that stage? That's the thing,
Yeah,
isn't
well,
it?
beers. I used to kind of I used to drink. So ELB, I don't. They still make it, a beer called Cowcatcher. It's an America, an APA,
Yeah.
and the pub I used to drink after football had it. So that was my after football drink.
Yeah.
And that was something that I kind of, from nostalgic purposes, used to just, I don't know why, it just did it. And it is a great beer.
Yeah.
One, it's quite an easy drinker.
Yeah.
Citra in there as well.
Nice.
And yeah, that was it. As I say, that's probably my ideal, just because just you would spend like a good 2 or 3 hours
Yeah.
on a Sunday afternoon, knowing, kind of having a few drinks. Then that would be a go home early. My wife used to say, "Why? I don't understand why. Surely the match finishes and you just go home. Why does it have to be then extend 3 hours in the afternoon?" I'm like, "Because we've got more bollocks to talk, haven't we?"
You're right, you don't understand, yeah.
Basically, but yeah, I'd say that was my choice happy hour. For me, that's
Nice.
something
That's
I
a
miss
really
about. I don't miss the aches and pains. I miss,
No, I bet.
playing
Yeah,
football.
and yeah. But that's a really authentic answer. I like that a lot, Johnny. So thanks for that. Yeah, it's I can definitely can
Nice one.
see myself enjoying that. So that's really good. Best wrap this up, Johnny. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you very much for your time. Really enjoyed your beers. And yeah, I think you've got a good thing going on
No,
down
appreciate
there.
that. I think, right, enjoy yourself, definitely.